Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse. We are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks so much for joining us on the journey. Roger, we kicked off last Friday a five-part series for Fridays in October on life lessons from Job. There are many, many lessons we could dive into. Both you and I have taught entire quarter-long classes on this, but we're just picking out five real-life lessons. If you missed last Friday, we talked about what about when bad things happen. You read all about that in Job chapter 1. We want to pick back up in Job 1 after so much had happened. In verse 20, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Roger, what we are reading is extraordinary. What stands out to you about that?
Well, you cannot miss what happened before this. And what happened before this is Job is just destroyed unlike any other person we know. He lost all his finances. He lost all his livestock. Majority of his servants were killed. He'd been invaded by armies. He had been robbed. And then the worst of all, his children are all killed. And so following the funeral of 10 of his children, Job worships God. And if there's ever an opportunity, ever occasion to put your hat on the nail that says, "I just can't worship. I don't feel like worshiping," that would be the occasion. But the chapter ends by saying Job falling to the ground, worshiping God, blessing the name of the Lord. One of the things I think we get out of the book of Job, and I think one of the lessons that we deal with from time to time, is when a person simply says, "I don't feel like worshiping." And I think that's an honest thing. I think it's honest when somebody admits that. And we need to look at that and go through the layers of that and talk about that and see what we can do when that comes up. There are times that happens to all of us. What do you do when you do not feel like worshiping?
So let's, one thing, of course, to go back and study Job. Let's think about some times in our own lives where we haven't gone through what this man has gone through, but maybe the gears of our zeal is grinding. How does that show up for us in the 21st century?
Well, you know, sometimes it can't be helped because physically a person doesn't feel well. And it may be not that, you know, you're got the flu and you're throwing up, very obviously, but it could be you're just not feeling well. And that may keep you from wanting to worship God. A lot more what we're talking about is what happens on the inside of our mind. We are discouraged, we're depressed, we're tired. We just don't feel like being there because we just don't feel like ourselves. Other times I think what comes up is the person feels guilty. They know that they've done some things that they shouldn't have done, and they feel shame to go to services where good people, as they may think, are going to be there. God's going to be glorified, and my choices haven't glorified God. My choices have led me away from God, and so I just don't feel good enough, we might say, of going. And I think that's a very real thing that people have to face.
All right. So we recognize that this is a very real issue in the 21st century, and yet we've got the example of Job. He is certainly not the only one. As I think of other examples, I think of King David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, who also has a child die. And you talk about feeling guilty. David is right there, right? He's had the confrontation with the prophet Nathan. This child, newborn child, is sick. And David goes and he begins to lay on the ground before God. Eventually, he sees his servants whispering, and he just point blanks asks them, is the child dead? And they say he is dead. 2 Samuel 12, verse 20 tells us, then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. We could replicate those examples all over the place. What is the power of doing this even when I don't feel like it?
Well, what the person is doing, and this is really the drive we have to look at today, you know, when the person says, I just do not feel like worshiping God, sometimes they're wanting to pass, you know, just write me a note and give it to God. I can't be there today because I just don't feel like it. We're not going to give you that pass. I don't think that's right. I think too many times we're putting ourselves and our feelings before the Lord. I think Job worshiped the Lord after 10 funerals because God was still God. I think David worshiped God after a baby died because God was still God. It is the right thing to do. If we always go by our feelings, some of us would never have finished school. Do you feel like going to school today? No, I don't feel like it. Well, then we would stay home. A lot of us would be broke today because we wouldn't have a job. Do you feel like going to work today? No, I don't feel like it. So I'm going to stay home and watch TV all day. Well, pretty soon they're going to repossess my TV because I'm not paying any money because I don't have any job. So life is not about doing what you want to do. There's so many things in life that is the right thing to do and we need to do. And it requires us to put ourselves secondary. That's the first step of discipleship. In Luke chapter 9, if any man wants to follow Jesus, be a disciple, he must deny himself. Never do we read in the Bible God ever asking somebody, how do you feel about this? Oh, Noah, I'm going to destroy every human being you ever know except your immediate family. By the way, how do you feel about that? Not asked. Abraham, I want you to take your only son up there and I want you to sacrifice him. By the way, how do you feel about that? Jesus, there's the cross. How do you feel about that? God never asks that. He calls us to do what's right. If we always go by how we feel, we may never forgive somebody. We may never apologize. We may never serve. And the reason would be, I don't feel like it.
So I hear, all right, this is a very deliberate way that I can put the Lord before myself. And when I deny myself, even perhaps especially in moments where I feel like putting myself first, by putting the Lord ahead of myself, something good, something is realigned. Something now has been brought back where it ought to have been all along. This makes me think of Psalm 46, where the psalmist there at the end, I mean, there are lessons to be drawn from the entire psalm. It starts out with God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. By the end of the psalm, there is this invitation. And so you start out with God is the rock. God is the refuge. In times of trouble, that's where we need to be. And by the end of the psalm in verse 8, there's this invitation, come behold the works of the Lord. When we gather together, what we are doing in many ways is beholding the works of the Lord. As we gather together with family that would not be family were it not for the Lord, we would not be together if the gospel were not bringing us together. As we sing, as we hear his word read and preached, as we pray, as we remember the sacrifice of his son, what we are doing is beholding the works of the Lord. And I don't know of any greater source of light for dark times than that. But he goes on in verse 10 to quote the Lord himself. And we've got these powerful words, be still and know that I am God. In many ways, that's the journey that Job goes on throughout 40 plus chapters, right? We've got this terrible loss, all sorts of speculation. Roger, you recently talked to us on Sunday morning about God being put on trial and how God responds to that. But ultimately, one of the great themes of Job is mankind needs to be still and know who God is.
I like some older translations of that passage. It just says hush. And it just sounds like grandma talking to you. You know, y'all just talking, and grandma just says, hush, listen, and you're looking at God. And so this idea of how do I worship when I don't feel like it? Number one, you got to look beyond yourself. Mm-hmm. Look to the Lord. Psalms 100 is another great one. It says, come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who's made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So you look beyond yourself. I mean, when all we're doing is looking in the mirror, we get that Elijah syndrome. And there's Elijah back in the book of Kings, and Jezebel was after him. He's hiding in the cave, gloom and despair. And the passage tells us he was dwelling there. He wasn't just staying there. Basically, that was going to be his home. And God calls him out. God calls him to get busy doing things for the Lord. And that reminds us that we've got to look beyond ourselves. We've got to look to heaven, look to God. He has been good to me in the past. He's got promises for me in the future. And when I take my eyes off of myself, oftentimes what happens is I start realizing I do want to worship God.
Yeah. You know, we've referenced a couple of Old Testament examples. I think of a variety of scenes in Acts. I'll list just one in Acts chapter 12, where hard for us to imagine what it would have been like when Herod the king lays violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He kills James, the brother of John, with the sword. He is seizing a variety of apostles, or a variety of disciples. Peter is caught up in this. He is kept in prison. And what does the church in Jerusalem do? In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, they gather together for earnest prayer. They do not run. They do not forsake the Lord. They don't walk away from the faith. Hard for us to imagine what it would be like to be a disciple in Jerusalem at a time like this. But here's the example. Christians gathering together, perhaps when it is inconvenient, perhaps when it would have been easier to stay apart, when it would have drawn attention to them, perhaps by gathering together, they find it important to pray.
So let me ask you this, Jason. We typically end this podcast by saying Sunday's coming. It's the best day of the week. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a listener and he thinks, great, Sunday's coming, and I just don't feel like going.
Yeah.
So what would you tell somebody practically to help me when I don't feel like going?
Number one, the first image that comes to my mind is, we're drawing to the end of weed eating and mowing grass season. But if you've got a weed eater and you just pick that gas powered weed eater up and start pulling on that ripcord, it's not going to start, right? I mean, you can pull and pull and pull and it's not going to start. What you've got to do first is prime that pump. Right? You've got to push on that little button. Mine, you got to push on 10 times is the recommended thing. And then when you've primed that pump a little and you pull on that cord, it starts. And so what I would encourage practically, number one is, okay, between now and then, what do we need to do to prime the pump? And maybe that's meeting for coffee. Just the two of us. And let's sit down and talk. Talk about where you are and let's be honest. And maybe let's pick one psalm And just maybe let's start right there in Psalm 1 and contrast, okay, the person that is dried up and shriveled and blown about by the wind versus the person with roots by an abundant stream of water. Let's spend a little bit of time in prayer. And what we've done is prime that pump a little. Now, it's not the end-all be-all, but it's a little injection of fuel before the best day of the week. So we're not walking in cold. We're not walking in, completely blind. We're seeking the face of God before the opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ. What about you?
Well, one of the things I would recommend is, worship is not just done in the church building.
Absolutely.
We should be worshiping God every day. And so that's going to try to answer some of this question today. Today, am I praying to God? Today, am I seeking His counsel? Am I reading His word? So it's not like there's been just a desert and a dearth of nothing, and then Sunday comes, we get it all Sunday, then we flip it off again till next Sunday. Every day we should be worshiping. And so on your own, that's going to help you as you think about this. What has God done for you? Number one, God's given you today. You're alive. That's a blessing right there. Need to be thankful. Need to be prayerful. That would help you. I think what you do on Saturday has a lot to do with what happens on Sunday.
Absolutely.
And I've had this saying I've used for years and years. If you have Saturday night live, good chance you're going to have Sunday morning dead. Okay? So, if you're staying up real late Saturday night watching TV, you're with a bunch of friends and you're just going all hours, they're going to sleep in Sunday because they may not be worshipers of God. There you are and you don't feel like it. Why don't you feel like it? Because you stayed up too late. So get a routine on Saturday. Get a routine where you're going to get some rest. So Sunday's coming. I've got to give my best to God and be thinking about that.
I think of Hebrews chapter 12 that talks about how sometimes knees are weak and hands are drooping and feet are stumbling. It sure does seem like a very human tendency in a lot of us is when those gears are grinding and when we're beginning to grow cold, we isolate. We don't let people know what's going on in our lives. And I would really encourage you to recognize if that's you and you're struggling with the, I just don't feel like it, don't isolate yourself from the rest of the body. Talk to brothers and sisters in Christ so that when knees are weak, other parts of the body can compensate. When hands are dragging and feet are stumbling, you need to talk to your shepherds. You need to talk to brothers and sisters in Christ. We all go through periods where it seems like a dry season, but that's one of the wonders of being a part of family.
I love the story of this 40-year-old guy who's still living at home, and it was Sunday morning, and his mama went in there and banged on the door, said, time to get up and go to church. And he said, well, tell me two good reasons why I should go. And she said, number one, you're 40 years old. Number two, you're the preacher. And that happens. That happens to all of us. Now, sometimes our approach to worship can affect this. If you're one who views worship as a performance-oriented kind of thing, then the song leader has to get me in the right mood. The preacher has to get me in the right mood. Worship is what do you bring to the Lord? Worship is you giving your heart to God. And so get a sheet of paper early Sunday morning and just write down 10 things that I'm thankful for. Or five people that's made a difference in my life. And what you're doing is you're getting those little wheels going in your mind and you're getting the bugs out and you're thinking spiritual and you're thinking about some things. Listen to some hymns. There's all kinds of avenues today where you can listen to some hymns on the way to the church building or even Sunday morning as you're getting dressed. And what you're doing is you're getting that preparation going. It's helping you. If you've never done this before, sit in a different part of the building. We get in habits. We sit in the same pew, the same time, for the next 30 years. Don't do that. Sit somewhere else. Sit beside somebody you haven't sat beside before. And what you're doing is bringing some freshness. What you're doing is getting yourself out of that rut. And what you're doing is trying to get yourself in the right spirit, right heart, to worship the God of heaven.
Yeah, this past Wednesday, we talked about opening up our eyes and beholding God's creative power all around us, right? What I hear, Roger, you saying, and I think maybe a good way of summarizing all of this, it is awfully hard to feel the zeal that I ought to feel on Sunday morning if my mind has been firmly set in the world Monday through Saturday.
That's it. That's it. And so passages like Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above. That word set would be like an anchor deep in the water holding on to that boat. That boat's not going to move because of that anchor. It's set. And it's like in our times today, a pilot setting his course of his destination. So set your mind on things above. Think above of heaven and those things. That helps you get in the right frame of mind to honor God as he so deserves.
I read earlier from Psalm 46, verse 2 says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. Think about this from Job's point of view. Surely that's how it felt. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we will not fear. Why? Because we know who is God. We are listening to this encouragement. Come, behold the works of the Lord. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in times of trouble.
And what your presence does sometimes is that very thing that another soul, maybe who's feeling what you're feeling, needs.
Yeah.
And can help it. I'll never forget more than one occasion where somebody has died. The funeral was going to be Sunday afternoon. Where's the family Sunday morning? Right there in the church house, praising God. Just like old Job. And that's just powerful. And people around them are amazed. People around them see that example. And it helps us to realize, okay, I need just to realize it's not about me. God is good. And I need to honor him.
Absolutely. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Lord willing, we'll be back next Friday with another life lesson from Job. But in the meantime, we encourage you to always remember, when you are walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.